He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
Yes, it is. And I want to start off with discussion of electric trucks, electric pickup trucks, electric delivery parcel van level trucks, and the big problem of range based on the problem of weight. There have been a couple of studies out since the Ford electric truck has appeared, and testing the load factor effect on the range capability of these trucks, and they are not good. Motor Trend has tested a Ford F-150. I think they loaded it with a trailer or they loaded the pickup bed, not sure which. But the point was that a truck, which is, I believe, advertised to get over 200 miles at least with one battery pack, went 40 miles before it either ran out of juice completely or needed to be recharged. 40 miles. Now, it was loaded to the maximum towing range or hauling range. But another test, and I do not know where that test was, but somebody else told me about it, a firm that routinely tests these kinds of vehicles for load range capability, used, I believe, the same Ford truck. I don't think it was another brand. And they got 80 miles. Neither test, as far as I know, included a hill climb factor in it. This is going to not bode well for the electric industry as far as pickup trucks go, if people are going to buy these trucks and think they're going to be able to put a camper in the back and or tow a big boat somewhere and drive off from wherever they're starting out and expect to get to their destination in any kind of either reasonable time or even get there at all because of load range capability.
Okay, let me stop you right
van,
there.
Wait a minute, Jay. Going to the parcel van situation, I have mentioned on the show, I don't know whether Jay's been on it or not, the coming UPS, FedEx, and the like delivery vans that are going to start out for rural sections of any state in which they are going to be delivering packages all day long from a warehouse or loading base that may be, in our case of our broadcast area, roughly 30 to 40 miles away before they start making their rounds. And then they come up to a hilly area such as we have in Sharon and Salisbury and all that and start going up and down the hills, unloading their loaded vehicles all day long, and in many cases, well after 5 o'clock is over. It ain't going to work, folks. Not right away.
All right, so now can I interrupt because you didn't let Jay interrupt? I think it's pretty well known, frankly, bluntly, that the current technology isn't going to cut it. But I am going to say, as I have said before, that new and improved technology will. But as it stands right now,
I don't know about that. And well, unless the batteries become lighter, and we'll let Jay drop in because I know he's got a lot to say about it. I don't know whether the battery weight factor is going to lessen as the technology goes up. I do not know whether or not the range capability of the battery is going to significantly improve above beyond the existing levels. Because weight is the enemy of all range issues.
Okay, let's just start from the beginning here. I think that before Amazon invested a gazillion dollars into Rivian and Rivian developed their delivery truck, I think that was probably one of their first questions, and I'm pretty sure they figured it out, or else they would not be going forward with this. Yes, you are correct. Certain remote areas may be more difficult to cover with these electric vehicles, but nobody said that they were going to replace all the ICE-powered vehicles overnight.
Correct.
We are in a lot of urban areas, all these vans don't drive all that much. In fact, Ford has a Transit out with, I think it has a 100-mile range. The Mercedes Sprinter electric version that is also sold in Europe is also limited to a 100-mile range. they have the capability, Ford has the capability of putting more battery, more range into the Transit. They have more range with they can produce the Ford F-150 Lightning that has whatever the range is, 300 or 400 miles. So they have the capability to do that. They've just figured the market is not needing 200-300 mile range vehicles for last mile delivery, and that's just the simple truth. And those vehicles will gain range over time. So I think you're making a lot of being very negative about a situation that's evolving and evolving actually pretty favorably.
Well, I strongly disagree.
Hold on. Back to the towing vehicle. You know, yes, the range of these electric vehicles has dropped by half when towing heavy loads. Guess what? You tow with a gas vehicle or a diesel vehicle, the exact same thing happens. My fuel mileage on my tour rig when I tow my 30-foot trailer goes from 30 miles to the gallon to 14 miles to the gallon. So my range is also drops by half. That's just the reality. So, yes, you do have a point. Are people going to take RVs and big boats on the road for hundreds of miles? Not right away. But most people who buy pickup trucks don't tow all that much anyway. So there's a lot to do about not all that much, I think, at this point.
Actually not. I disagree, and to my listeners, I agree, that not a lot of people are going to buy electric trucks right off the bat and try to pull loads.
Right.
The problem with the range ranges that are given, they are not given in loaded conditions out there.
No, our fuel mileage.
The truck has a range of 200 miles or 250 miles. They don't do it even in the electric cars.
I think what I'm trying to interject and say is anyone with two brain cells to rub together is aware of that.
That may well be true. And you know what the answer is? I will not buy an electric vehicle.
Right, and you're not going to buy an electric truck. Right.
But wait a minute, Jill and Jay. What's going on here is the publicity to get IC engines off the road for global warming situations, or however you want to look at it, is so far out there in trying to tell us that we have to prepare ourselves for the electric world. They are not specifically detailing the areas in which the electric world is not going to be an appropriate way to go for some time to come.
I agree. Hopefully,
I'm just saying to anybody who wants to buy an electric pickup, go for it. But if you are going to think about putting a camper in the back bed and going off and getting 200 miles before you have to worry about whether you've got a charge or not, going up and down the hills in Vermont and wherever else the hills are, you aren't going to do that.
And I think that everybody
nobody should be representing to the potential buyer of an electric pickup truck that it's going to be no problem.
I think you are absolutely right.
And
right.
Then we can go on to Jay's thing. He's
well,
got
before,
a whole list of things.
Before we go on to the whole list, I'm going to say, yes, you're absolutely right, and anybody with an environmental awareness and those brain cells is going to figure that out if they haven't already. Other people who don't know are going to go, oh, yeah, that'll work, and then they can get stuck, and that'll be that.
Well, we don't know whether the 200,000 or plus or minus orders for the Ford F-150 is all aware with those brain cells that you say we ought to have when they read something like the Motor Trend test and or the other place that tested it, because it's a real shock. 40 miles is not 50% of the range of that truck. And you don't have charging stations every 50 miles to plug in, like you have gas stations every 150 miles to get gas, as Jay said, if he's getting 14 miles a gallon with his Touareg, as opposed to 35 when it's unloaded. That's the other issue. There are obviously electric stations locations increasing probably every month in the United States. Whether they're easy, whatever they are, or they're Teslas or whatever, they are increasing. But I can guarantee you nobody buying an electric truck and trying to go somewhere distance is going to want to stop every, right now, as low as 80 to 40 miles. And so they're not going to buy the truck, which is fine. That's the answer, Jill, if they figured it out.
Let me go right on to the next subject with this, what I see, and the electric trucks are a perfect example of what is going on. in the speculation and gouging by both dealers and first buyers of these vehicles. We've seen the new Hummer EV that's coming out now, or the first ones have been delivered, being flipped for crazy amounts of money. Same thing with a Ford F-150 Lightnings. So the demand is very, very strong for these vehicles, to the point that people are buying them and flipping them around, and people are buying, you know, buying these vehicles used, if you will, for way, way, way over list price. So the demand is very strong. And the problem with that, other than it makes no sense, is that dealers are buying into that. Both GM and Ford are coming out with programs and policies to limit warranties on vehicles, high-demand vehicles that are being flipped. And I know in GM's case, I think the Hummer EV, the Corvette Z6, which is not an electric vehicle, are on the short list of vehicles where the warranty is voided if it's sold within 12 months of first purchase. So that's something to be aware of if you're going out there and actually really wanting to buy one of these vehicles that are in high demand.
Well, Jay, that's a very interesting point you've brought up, because I read that General Motors is very concerned about this exact problem of people buying and flipping their vehicles. I didn't know that was one of the ways they were going to limit these potential interests of people doing that. I thought maybe there might be other situations. They were going to tell the dealers dealers are going to allow this to happen, they might stop deliveries to dealers unless they can figure a way to stop it from happening. But that's the warranty thing is, I don't know that warranties are going to be a big issue with electric vehicles. Yeah, you've been telling us about the reliability of electric vehicles as being very high.
Which is another good reason to buy them, by the way.
Which is another good reason to buy them, by the way, exactly. So I'm not sure the warranty thing would be much of a deterrent to those people who think they're going to go out and flip them. But, you know, I'm still waiting to see an electric Ford running around, coming up to our Ford dealer in our broadcast area. And I have seen now about a half a dozen Rivian pickup trucks on the road, theoretically owned by their owners, not with dealer plates on them. And so the Rivians are getting on the road, and I haven't yet caught up to anybody to have a chat with them about it. Have you, Jay?
No, I have not. I know a couple people who have one on order, but nobody has taken delivery of
them. There are two running around our northwest corner. I think one has a New York plate on it, and then there's some down in Fairfield County that are popping up. So the Rivians are on the road. But I'm still waiting to see an Ford Lightning pickup show up on the road that I can chase down the road and talk to the owner about.
So
continue with your list, Jay.
I wanted to go back to EV sales, electric vehicle sales. There's no doubt, and I know this is one of Robin's peeves, that tax credits are a huge motivational factor in an electric vehicle purchase. We've had this $7,500 credit that applies to the first 200,000 vehicles that a manufacturer builds, which is kind of a bizarre way of giving these credits, but that has been going on, and some manufacturers still benefit from that $7,500 credit that the purchaser can benefit from. That seems in the newest bill coming out that I think the Senate has voted on, and I don't want to get into politics, but it seems that that tax, $7,500 tax credit, will be extended in the future with some pretty stringent conditions attached to it, and those conditions get stricter in the coming years, and there's conditions relating to battery production. There's conditions relating to where that the vehicles will have to be produced in the U.S. And it all makes sense, we will see those tax credits most likely. Interestingly, in Norway, they've had a drastic drop in electric vehicle sales this year, and it's hard to tell whether it's due to just market conditions or the fact that they've, I think, also restricted tax benefits on electric vehicles. So there's no doubt that tax policy just affects the sales of
electric vehicles. Counterpoint time. Yes, I have said that it should not be necessary to keep tax incentives in place. I still go to say it's not affecting the Tesla sales. Tesla long ago ran out of the $7,500 federal tax credit. And then you've got prices are coming down in some of the electric vehicles down to where they're even below what the average sale price of ICE vehicles, that's internal combustion engine vehicles, has risen to recently. The new VW ID.4 produced in America is going to come out with a base price of $38,140 or something like that.
Yeah, smaller battery, but
low 40s with some of the average prices of ICE vehicles. And they don't have tax credits, and they're still selling well. So I'm not sure. Yes, the people who have been benefiting, in my opinion, Jay, so far with those tax credits are the wealthier people who don't need those tax credits to buy the vehicle at all. But they're the ones that can use tax credits most effectively against the incomes that they are making and what those tax credits do. So, but I think, when I go look at cars and they've got incentives of, you see the incentives in the ads, 0% financing as opposed to cash discounts or cash discounts as opposed to 0% financing, those are incentives of a different order. There's no tax benefit to that situation. I look for incentives when I look for a car. My Hyundai Sonata 2013, which I bought in 2014 because it had never sold in 13, was list price at $32,000-something. I got it at the dealer for $23,000, brand new, maybe 100 miles on the odometer from test drives. And so I bought it. So, yes, we all like incentives, and they do serve their purposes one way or the other, but I'm not sure that a tax incentive is the way to keep electric car sales going. There'll be something else anyways. Next, Jay?
Speaking of incentives, and I think I've mentioned this before, there's the counter incentives, and back to gouging by dealers. And there is this interesting website called markups.org that lists, and I was looking at it again today, that lists all the dealers that are marking up vehicles and to what amount they are marking them up. And I just looked into
unscrupulous levels.
So these dealers, so they're all the dealers in the country are kind of listed, not all, but a lot. And if they are reported as selling over list price, they're reported on this website. And the good news is there are a lot of dealers who are not marking up their vehicles, but many are. And I think that we should be aware of that. And there's certainly no reason. I would never pay over sticker price for a run-of-the-mill Subaru or Honda or even any vehicle for that matter. There's just no reason to do that.
Well, the Cadillac Blackwing series is one of the series of Cadillac lines that are being significantly overpriced by dealers, and it is not dampening the people who are trying to get the Blackwing editions from getting their cars because they are in such limited production. I guess they get away with pricing them the way they want to do it. I have a real estate client who's been waiting for a Blackwing edition. I'm not sure which model he wants for over 9 months, and he hasn't gotten it yet because, the usual excuses are there: chip shortages for some of the features that are being deleted in some chips that he doesn't want to delete in his. Well, whatever it is. This overpricing thing has been going on forever in the automobile deal business, especially for limited edition vehicles. Not necessarily the run-of-the-mill Subarus and all that kind of thing, except that that's part of the car business. But I love that website you gave us for being able to go online and see which dealerships are known to be pricing their vehicles at whatever levels, well above the sticker window stickers. I've noticed that some window stickers are not necessarily posted in some of the vehicles and some of the dealer lots that I've been to in the last few weeks or so. And that bothers me because I thought the Moroni sticker, as we call it, had to be posted if the car was on the lot for sale. But there are some dealers that sometimes the stickers have fallen off the windows, maybe due to sun, and they're lying on the seats. But some, I've been to some dealerships where you can't even find whether there's one inside the vehicle or not. And, of course, that's frustrating when you're out on a Sunday when the dealerships are most of the dealerships are closed. So you don't get hounded by a salesperson coming out to see if they can help you try to buy a car or try to sell you a car. It's just another little annoyance in those of us who prowl around dealers' lots without wanting to have the assistance of personnel inside the dealership coming to help us figure out what we're doing.
You have to have an escape route planned.
Yeah, I do.
In my small diesel world, the good news is I've been finding diesel for under $5 a gallon, and it also makes me smile that Stellantis, the Stellantis group, which is formerly known as Fiat Chrysler here in the U.S., has been slammed with a $300 million fine for, guess what, cheating on diesel emissions.
And that was for a big line of vehicles, too. The Jeep Grand Cherokees and the Ram pickup trucks are all part of that situation.
Yep.
And when we had our local Chrysler Jeep dealership in Canaan, the then owner of that vehicle, of that franchise, had a couple of Jeep Grand Cherokee diesels there, and he sold one of them. He never sold one in our local corner. It got sold to somebody down in New Jersey or Maryland that was looking for that vehicle. And I test drove it before it disappeared, and it was a very nice driving vehicle. And
I'm sure it is.
As you well know, Jay, with your diesel Touareg,
yes.
The torque characteristics make that an extremely nice engine to have for both torque for both towing and heavy-duty work and acceleration off the line. And plus, you got relatively good gas fuel mileage, diesel mileage, against the gasoline versions of those same vehicles. So now they're getting slammed for it's another Dieselgate situation, as you brought up.
All right, you got 1 minute.
Okay,
a couple
1 minute.
Of safety tips. Safety, two unrelated things. New child seats safety standards are coming out. To better protect children in, and this is for 40 pounds and under children, you know, specific car seats, not just boosters, for lateral impact or what we call
getting
T-boned. And and that's, I guess, a good thing. And apparently Congress and all sorts of advocacy groups have been on the NHTSA for the last 20 years. So that is good news. Keep an eye out for that if you are in the market for child seats. Other thing, people always get paranoid about tire wear and brake wear, and we kind of all, including myself, forget about shocks and struts.
Yeah, right.
So, it's harder to determine if your shocks or struts need to be replaced. There's an ongoing accepted value of like around 50,000 miles, you should start considering changing them. It's hard to notice that they're deteriorating in efficiency only because obviously it doesn't happen overnight. So we don't notice it until we drive in another car, same car as ours, that is newer
right.
or has newer shocks and struts. So keep an eye out for that. You know, when you bring your car to the shop, have it tested if it can be tested or driven by a pro. And, those are my safety tips for the week.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.